Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Technical difficulties in the studio, but my commercial was supposed to play, so if it pops on, we'll go ahead and we'll just give the time to run its entity. You know, we're in some dark times, some crazy times, and I wanted to break the monotony. I wanted to keep my show going and bring fighters on and keep sharing the sport. Well, ultimately, you and I both know the sport is shut down at the time being, so I reached out to a very good aspect that I've had on my show and a man that I respect in his walk, that being Master Kung Lee. Kung, welcome to the program. Well, I don't know what's going on. Give me one second. Let me refresh the studio. I think the internet went down. Great. We'll keep things going. All right, well, I'm back. Let's get Kung Lee back on. I don't know what the hell happened there. We'll try to get him back on. I apologize to my listeners. The internet's been acting really weird as of lately. But we're live now, so we'll keep things going. I'll get Kung on right now. Hopefully he answers again. He's not going to answer.
Hello.
Hey, Kung, I apologize. We're undergoing blackouts as we speak, so what actually happened is the internet completely went out in the studio, so I apologize. We're back on the air live. I apologize, sir.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, not to apologize, we're live, and it's still going to get out there, and it's still recorded. You know, like I was saying, we're going through some dark times, and I wanted to keep the sport going. You know, I wanted to keep an aspect going, but hour by hour we sit back and there's complexities added to our life. How is life right now for Kung Lee and his family?
I feel like I'm living in a movie right now, you know? There's all kinds of stuff going on. There's this crazy virus. There's a lot of racism. There's death threats on me and even my kid. And, my girlfriend, she's Native American. And, there's some stuff with corruption in Kentucky, Boyd County, and two deputy sheriffs that, were involved, and they're just corrupt, and we have all the evidence, to definitely bring Boyd, this small town down, and this virus hits, and everything's on lockdown. It's just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I told you earlier before we went live, and then ultimately our show got booted off the air, but we're back live now. First it was a mandatory, not even a mandatory, it was just a stay-at-home order for 2 weeks, and then it became a mandatory stay-at-home order until June 1st. And it perplexed me because I'm 55 years old. I've never seen this aspect of life. I've never understood this aspect of life. But what I am taking away from it is a lot of what you were talking. I kind of seen certain aspects, not just in sport, but in life, for their true colors. You look at the way people are acting and things that are transpiring. I always like to use the analogy, when we were kids and playing football, didn't matter what color your teammates were. And everybody's answer is always no. So why in these days does somebody's skin color matter? I'm American Indian myself. Everybody thinks I'm Mexican, but I'm American Indian and Irish. But it's social media. You look at the school systems, you look at aspects of life. When we went to school, when we were kids, sir, we learned from books. The generations after us, they learned from the internet. Would you say that programming and aspects on social media have truly perplexed racism and hatred in ways you would never have thought?
I think the internet has a little to do with it, but at the same time, I got to say it's the parents. Parents that's raising the kids of today that will run tomorrow's, economy, or lifestyle. And, it's scary to see, because younger kids now are so entitled. As you can see that, spring break. Even with the virus going on, those kids didn't care. They can give, they can care less about what people want. It was all about them. It's all about partying, getting drunk, and this is what we are living in today's world. Whether we like it or not, but I feel like we could make a change if the parents, would lock things down and really get behind, raising their kids in the proper way. I'm not talking about all parents here, right? I'm just talking about what's going on, what you see, whatever you're seeing out there is the outcome of what the parents have put into their kids. And, that's what I see.
Yeah. I like the analogy that you use, that it seems like we're living in a movie. I do a lot of shows in politics, and I deal with a lot of different aspects and genres, not just the sport. And I'm getting the same thoughts from everybody, that it just feels like we're living in the twilight zone, that nobody has a complete full understanding of what is going on in our world. Did you, sitting at your age, think that you would ever see the world crumble before your eyes?
You know, I really never even paid attention to what was around me till I had my first son. And then I realized, wow, you know, this is a big responsibility. I have to be a great example for my son, because now what I do will, you know, influence and affect him in a positive or a negative way. So I just, you know, made some changes in my lifestyle and, you know, became more of a family man instead of like, you know, me, you know. You know, the truth is, a lot of people can't admit that they're, you know, they're selfish. You know, everyone has, you know, that selfishness, right? It's okay to be selfish, but it's also have a balance of like a yin and yang. When you're selfish for what reason, right? And when you're giving, what are you giving to? Right? So.
Yes, sir. I like that because, you know, I'll give you a fine example. You know, you look at me and my wife, per se. We both lost our jobs. We're both unemployed. And when I first realized that it was my time to go to the store, you know, we got a few things, but I really didn't take it to the measure that it's at. And we're not going to take the whole show and talk about this. We're going to move on to something here in a second. But I realized when I went back the next day and there was no meat in the store, there was no canned goods. I mean, there was absolutely really nothing. And it boggled my mind, and I had said my thoughts about it online. And the very next day, UFC fighter Zach Cummings, his father-in-law, shows up at my house with 30-something pounds of fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt so blessed in my life, because it was like, you know, this is so cool. You know, there's somebody else out there like me. And, man, I hugged him, and I told him how much I loved him and appreciated it. I said, hey, man, you need any more? We'll figure it out. Well, the very next day, my wife's job calls and says, hey, we can let you work 3 hours a day. We're doing curbside, and you could do that. At least you'll get 3 hours a day. So she went, and I told her, I said, you know what? Take some of the meat with you, because I'm sure there's people that will need it. Sir, there was people that were starving. So not only did I take that little bit of meat the first day, but the very next day I had her take almost every bit of meat we had to give to the people. Because, see, there's one thing in life people don't realize. No matter how bad we have it, there's somebody else that always has it worse. And the only time we should look down on somebody in life is when we're helping them up. And I was blessed again, you know. He hit me, and he said, Don, how you doing? And I said, bro, I got to be honest with you. I said, there was families that have kids, so I gave the meat to them. And he said, well, I'll be by your house tomorrow. And he showed up, and he gave me meat for me, and he gave me more meat to give to these families that are starving. And to top that off, there's a lady that lives on my street. Never met her. I open up my mailbox, there's this note. Hi, my name is so-and-so. I live at this address. If you need any meat, groceries, blah, 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 whatever, just put it on here. Put this note back in your inbox. and I'll get what I can for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately call this lady, and she says, hey, I'm at the store now. What do you need? And I said, I don't need anything. I said, I just want to tell you, you know, praise you, and I wanted to ask you if you needed anything. See, I think this world is missing out on the great picture, and that picture is compassion. What are your thoughts, Kong, on the stories I told you and how people can share compassion?
My thoughts on what you just shared with me is there's not enough of that going on, right? Again, we go back to my story about being selfish, right? And it's about, you know, it's part of our DNA, but it's the amount of selfishness to the amount of compassion and what we're willing to do and what we're willing to sacrifice and what we're willing to give up. And not a lot of people will do what you would do, but the handful of people that do makes that, you know, that change in the world that can influence other people to do it. And when you said, oh, you know, we don't want to spend that much time on the show because, you know, we want to talk about MMA. Well, we're in a dark time, and if there's light to be shed, it's time to shine that light into the dark, into the darkness, you know? And like I feel like nowadays, right? You can show up at a Walmart, but you can't show up at church, you know, or a place of religion. You know, everyone, they believe what they believe, but at the same time, you know, I feel like today's society have gotten away from God, and you know, I just. Or whatever their faith is, right? And I feel that because of being selfish, you kind of lose that part of you, and that's why the world is where it is. I mean, if you really dig deep, there's more to everything that's going on. But no, everyone wants to stay in their bubble. Everyone wants to turn a blind eye. Someone's getting picked on. Someone's getting, you know, beat up. People will film that shit instead of doing something. And that's kind of like, that's majority right now. But there's that handful of people that's willing to do something, that's willing to step in, that's willing to, you know, give their meat away. Let the older person take cuts and get to the register, you know, or the guy who's at the door who really needs that dollar, or if you go into the store and you shop for yourself and you're like, that guy must be hungry. I'm going to get him something. And I actually find myself doing that. And, you know, just the other day, I was getting some to-go food. Dude was opening people's door. No one gave him a single dime. Me and my son said, thank you, right? So when I got my change back, I actually gave my son like the $3 in change left. I said, go give it to the guy at the door. And my son goes out and gives it to him. And then he comes back in, and I can see that he's processing something in his head. And then he opens up his wallet. He looks, and then I see that he's got a 5 and he's got like a 10. And, you know, he pulls the 5. He's like, I'm going to go give this to him. I'm like, that's really nice of you. So he goes out and gives him 5. So he actually gave the guy more than I gave the guy, right? So, and I just did that just to spark what he would do and maybe, you know, be in a giving mood. And man, he outshined me, right? So, and I thought, wow, that's awesome, because I always want my son to be better than me one day, right? Whatever it is, not just in the martial arts or whatever, but as a person. And just from that, I felt like, spark something that was positive. And now, when my son sees someone in need, he might help the person. And those are the little things that we do to make a difference in our life, because it'll make a difference in someone else's life. So I feel that, you know, for the small amount of people out there, and I want to, you know, plug my buddy Al, who's probably listening to this show live. You know, he's you know, he had some like a scary moment in his life, and you know, was not sure what happened. And I just want to say, and he's out there. He feels bad because he hasn't been able to do much. I mean, I want to thank people like him, like you, who are always trying to give. That's what we need in this world. And if more of that happens, I saw this post, which I'll look for, and I screen captured it, but I haven't got a chance to post it. And it said, if all the people in the world work together, this is what we would have. And it was like an amazing planet, right? But instead, we're always at war. We're always like, who cares about the environment? Let's just pollute everything. It's the dark times that we live in. And everyone is turning a blind eye. Everyone's living in their bubble. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not sure.
That's the reality of it.
You know, it's just sad to see. And I worry more for my kids, or you don't know what can happen. You know, I mean, you know, I started, you know, getting back to, you know, just being more like with my faith, and man, things are turning around more for me, and just those little things inspired my son. And so, you know, I hope people get back into it, get in touch with their religion. For me, it's God, it's Christ. And, you know, I started reading the Bible, and I'm like, man, you know, the revelation, it's kind of scary, like whatever's going on, you know, the world we live in. And look, just the other day, well, not the other day, but recently, you know, the Marines saved like 2,000 kids in an underground bunker. I mean, what kind of crap is that going on? And there's like people that, you know, is doing crazy shit to kids. And it's just hard to imagine, but everyone's turning a blind eye, you know? And so there's all these things. There's corruption in CPS in certain parts of the country. You know, there's, you know, I'll say it out there. It's like Boyd County, Kentucky. All those guys out there are corrupt, you know? And they're supposed to serve and protect. And man, there's just so many crazy stories that's going on, you know? And then, you know, to, you know, my girlfriend, you know, she's a victim of some of, you know, some of that crazy shit going out there. So it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand, or are you just going to turn a blind eye? So, you know, I've assembled a team, and, you know, I'm getting press and, you know, expose. And just like what's going on with Asians right now. I mean,
yeah,
shit,
that's some bull crap,
you know. Some crazy shit, like I think it's a 100 or 1,000 cases a day now, like that, you know, Asians are victims. And then the crazy thing is, you know, take nothing away from what the history is going on, but like what I'm seeing is like someone got upset that I posted like back to back the Asian victims were abused by African Americans, right? My best friend is, you know, African American, you know, it just got caught. So I wanted to expose him, and then all of a sudden I got hate, you know, hate mail and all this other, you know, like death threats and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, come on, really? This is the world we live in. So, you know, and it's not, I'm not singling out anyone, you know. Then I post about, you know, some Australian on the bus. I mean, there's all kinds of, it's just craziness going on. And, you know, I worry for my kids, and everyone out there should be worried, you know, because like a lot of people, like I remember when I was teaching full time, and a lot of parents would come in and they would talk to me and they would say, oh, I want the best education for my son or my daughter. I'm like, I do too, but you're going to give them the best education to survive here, because that's how we teach. Not only do we teach the martial arts, but we teach the discipline behind it, but survival. How to survive this attack, how to survive. If you're you know, adversary standing in front of you, you've done everything wrong, or, you know, situational awareness. There's all this going on, and the world shows it, you know, shows how people are unprepared of what's going on. You're walking down the street, you're not traveling in groups of two, and you're picking a certain time, and you don't, you know, you're a victim, you know, and you're an easy target, you know, or you can be a hard target, you know, and people don't care unless it happens to them. And it is what it is, you know.
Well, you've touched on several points that just really, boy, they really get me going, bro, to be quite honest with you. But I do want to touch on the racism aspect towards Asian people. You know, my message to my listeners, because I'm global, my show is worldwide. You know what, people, if we were all blind, we would know no different. We don't know where this damn sickness came from or who created it. So why should we become greater than the monster that is trying to control us? You know, if you think about it, people, systematically, we're being programmed in some aspect. We're being shown things, and we're made to hate others. We're not like that. You know, and shame on the people that are, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm 55 years old, and I never gave two damn bits about a person's color. You know, first and foremost, life is the most precious gift we could ever be given. And we don't even appreciate that as a race, as an aspect of being a human being. You know, we want to throw away our elderly. We want to, you know, act like they didn't create the path that we walk on. You know, it's funny because my show is usually a martial arts show, but since we got talking on this, I'm kind of cool with it. You know, people want to pay respect to the dojo master or the person that created them. Pay respect to that type of respect to everybody in life.
Yeah,
and watch how different things are. You know, it's not about who's better. You know, those who do and post about it, you demean what you do. I don't generally tell stories like I did on the show tonight about the meat, but I share this story because I want people to understand that without unity, we're nothing. Without compassion, we're not going to exist. You know, the hard facts of life is I came from the projects. I was molested and beat and shipped off at 7 years old to military school. I didn't have a great life. But the life that I created for myself and built myself up came from a man that I didn't even know. I was sitting on the stoop of an apartment complex because I graduated with honors at 16. I went to my mother's house thinking I was going to be accepted with open arms and got, what in the F do you want from me? So I took to living in my car, eating out of dumpsters. And I was sitting on a stoop of an apartment complex, and some old man came by and said, what's wrong, son? And I said, F you. And he sat down, he said, hey, man, I'm not trying to cause any harm. I'm a preacher. He goes, but if you need a place to stay or you're looking for work, I can help you out. He goes, I'm not weird. I'm a man of God. And he handed me his business card. And something in my heart told me to take that offer. And I did. And that man created the man that you're speaking to today. That man gave me every bit that I needed to exist. Because ultimately, 2 years later, I would meet his granddaughter, who is now and has been my wife for 35 years. You know, people, look at life not as a gimme, but as a precious commodity. Look at the elderly reach out to them, pay respect. Because if it wasn't for people like the elderly that taught Master Kung or came in my life and shared their stories and had me grow, we wouldn't be here today. You know, Kung, you're a tremendous man in life. And each and every time I have you on the show, I'm so ecstatic because you just keep it real. I mean, you say it like it is, and 90% of the sport isn't that way. What is it about that aspect about you that has you truly always speaking from the heart, sir?
I think it's my faith in God. You know, that's all I can, you know, really see because, you know, he gave me a mom that explains things to me, you know, even though I was never close to my dad, right? And when I did get to meet him, he, you know, he was a black belt in judo and he, you know, he wanted to throw me around. So, you know, instead of, you know, feeling sorry for myself, I took it as a learning lesson and, you know, look at the athlete, look at the wrestler I became, and look at the martial artist I became, right? So instead of, like, hating him, I kind of like, in a way, I have to thank him because he treated me this way. But at the same time, my mom is the one who gave me the openness in the way I think through, of course, you know, there's a chain, right? God, you know, gives you a mom that either cares or that doesn't, but that's a choice, right? God gives you a choice. It's what you do with your choice. And when she explains things to me, she doesn't expect me to go out and do it, choice. So the choice comes down to what you want to do in life, who you want to affect in life. And so in the end, all glory goes to God because I have a mom that explained it to me a certain way. And I won't hold resentment because I held resentment for the longest time against my dad. You know, at one point he disowned me. And, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm more to prove. But then when I proved it, I got far because I was hungry. Now these kids these days, you know, there's nothing. They don't have a drive, and I think it comes from the parents to make sure you have that drive, or the coaches in the school. You know, the way they speak to their team, to each athlete when you join a sport. You know, and it all comes down. You can't blame the kids. You got to blame the adults that set the example. So we are to blame for, you know, the younger generation. So you either step up or you don't. And I think that's kind of like my approach because, you know, I have three boys and raising stallions is tough. They're three alpha boys, right? But, you know, my oldest, I learned the hard way. I pushed him too hard and he lost interest in martial arts, and I can push him all I want, but he doesn't have that drive anymore because I pushed him too hard. So my middle son, I treaded lightly, you know. Then now I'm divorced, and now the timeshare that I have with my youngest son, it's tough. It's very tough to have consistency when you know you can make someone a champion and they have all the abilities, but now because the relationship didn't work, and we have gone our separate ways for the better. But then who's most affected by it is my son. Because now with my other two boys, I have full custody of. This one, you know, I'm sharing custody. And then, you know, it was an ugly, ugly divorce. And now I'm at the tail end of it. And, you know, I can only do what I can do when it comes to that because in the end, my youngest has a choice. Whether he's influenced by his mom or influenced by me, he's got to make that choice. And hopefully I get him more, you know, later on. But when time, it all comes at time, right? What is your time? Because tomorrow's not promised. It's not promised for anyone. It could be end days tomorrow. But no one wants to think about that, right? Everyone wants to think about what they're going to get out of today. And that's the society that we live in. So, you know, like, I'm sure that I made a comment about the two posts I did. And, yes, it just happened to be blacks that beat up Asians. The sad thing about that is the blacks were slaves for, what, 400 years? And now it's like a cycle. It's crazy. Instead of, and I believe that I just posted something where all these Asians were supporting the blacks during their time of need. And when it's our time of need, we're supporting each other. And there's a handful of people out there on all different races supporting us. But we were right there. Like, there's pictures of us supporting Martin Luther King, you know, all this. And I'm not saying there's white folks and all kinds of different nationalities hating on the Asians right now. But it's not we didn't make this happen. It's the people who are responsible, or Mother Nature. Who knows until it's truly, you know, documented and the evidence is out there. Don't blame the whole race. Stand together. Bond. United we stand, right? Divided we fall. And no one sees that. Everyone, it's all about me. It's all about my family. Well, shit. You know, without us, there's no society. So,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Well, it is what it is, but I'm one that I don't care if somebody, I mean, people have created my show, but I'm also one that will show them the door on my show, too. I like to keep things as real and honest and upfront as possible, and I think there's not enough of real in life anymore. You know, and when I started seeing the Asian community being attacked for a virus that was actually patented in 2005 by the United States, you know, that just really pissed me off. And it's like, everybody wants to bitch about something, and they always want to blame somebody. But it's like you said in one of your statements earlier, you could see an old lady fall, but instead of everybody reaching down to pick her up, they pull out their cell phone, and they use it to mock this individual for what, a like, for a share?
Yeah.
Is that what our lives has truly come down to? Fucking social media status? Get the fuck out of here with that. You know, it's a shame, and pardon my language, but it just really gets me so mad. Because, like I said earlier in the show, I'm American Indian and Irish. My mom's Cherokee. My mom worked the migrant farm worker trail from the Midwest, from Oklahoma, all the way to California. And she lived amongst the Mexicans and, you know, lived in harmony. All in my younger years, the 70s, the 80s, life wasn't like this. You know, it really wasn't. And then you look at now, why should we go out and hate and beat up people for something that we don't even know the cause? Because somebody wants to put social media? That's bull crap.
It's social media, but at the same time, if you look at the higher, higher powers, if you believe in God, there's a devil. If you believe in good, there's an evil, you know. So, you know, I try not to, get angry and then think about it. I just try to do now. You know, I just try to help. And for me helping, you know, yeah, I got a lot of backlash, but I got so much people thanking me for standing up. And I even got, like, different race thanking me because they couldn't do it themselves. You know, so, you know.
Well, see,
that's
what's
now
tremendous about you. But see, and I hate to cut you off, but that's what's tremendous about you. And that's one of the reasons why I truly appreciate you, is because you're one that leads by example. You know, a lot of people don't know about the lawsuit with, you know, for all the fighters that you're doing. They don't know all the aspects that you've fought for, not just in life, but in the sport and in your everyday, you know, aspects. But yet you still continue to lead by example. That's what makes you a rare commodity, my friend. That's what makes people look at you with respect. You know, you said it earlier, there's not very many people like us left. And we have to lead by example. You know, like you said, your son gave the gentleman more than you did. That shows proof that you're doing the right thing. You know, I have a friend that sponsors a show. He works for the United Way, and he doesn't let his kids watch but maybe 30, 45 minutes of TV a day. He doesn't let them get on the internet. And I tell you what, when I was out at Bellator 199 and I met up with you there, you know, I actually stayed with my sponsor instead of staying at a hotel. But I learned something about life that I didn't even think existed anymore. I saw a family that was a family. They sat down at the dinner table. They prayed before dinner. After dinner, everybody sat around and talked with each other. Nobody was on a mobile device. And I got to tell you what, it was a breath of fresh air. It was an aspect of life that even last summer I thought was gone. You know, that's what we need to instill in our lives now. That's what we need as adults to create in our family structure. You know, we need to go back to what created us. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Of course, that is fair. And you know what? If people don't like it, well, oh well, who cares about them or what they think? It's about the message that we try to get across, right? You know, that's how I see it. You know, I don't care what people think, or, you know, I just do. And, you know, so if they don't like it, don't follow. Don't, you know, turn a blind eye.
That's what I say, bro. I say, sometimes on my live videos, I get a little worked up because I've always gone against the grain. I'm not gonna be the one, you know, 99,000 Wikipedia topology shows out there. I'm not gonna be that guy that is repetitive. I mean, I remember, and I hope you don't mind me putting you on the spot, but I know you told me this in a jokingly manner. You know, I think it was like the second or third time I had you on the show, and you told me, McGuire, you better bring the heat. And you know what? I sat back and I went, holy crap. Okay, let's see. I touched on his life from this point to this point. We touched on all these other avenues that he's done. What the hell am I going to open the show up and what angle am I going to go? Because I don't write down a question. And I remember that episode, and I started that show and I asked you, what did pride, passion, and perseverance mean to Kung Lee? And you said it was the martial way. It's the, you know, it's what martial arts is about. And you gave a very eloquent answer. Does Kung Lee still look at life through the same eyes that you did on that show comparative to now?
I believe I do. The biggest difference now is, if you look back at my fights. After I win or even after I lose, for most of the clips out there, I always, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I raise up my fist to the light, you know, basically to the skies, right? And I praise God. And I always do it to myself because it's between me and God, right? And you know, now I'm trying, because I have kids now, and that's what I'm saying. I have to modify the way I do things, because I believe my journey was successful because my faith was very strong. And I want to instill that into my son. And there's a lot of parents out there, it's not their fault, and maybe it's their parents' fault, that they didn't get any faith instilled into them. So now that if I instill it to my son, I need to spread the word, because it helped me become successful when I turn to God, whether I win or whether I lose. You know, and in my saying before, you win like a champion, you train like a champion, and if you lose, you lose like a champion. So the more I speak up, and you know, I'm always giving God praise. So people can't be saying, oh, come Bible thumping or whatever it is. I always give all glory to God. But now I need to, because of our dark times, when there's darkness, and if you turn to God, there's light. So that's basically what I'm trying to get, because how am I going to educate the people that follow me, right? Oh, yeah, you have to do what's right, because it's right. Well, love and light, right? What about faith in Christ? Something. You got to figure out what motivates people to do the right thing, right? So that if it's getting closer to God and being saved, well, then do it. But do it because you have a reason. I don't know at this point. I just worry for my kids' future. Because if you look at it, how much more can Mother Earth take? Right? It's just a matter of time till, you know. And if you look at it, right, there's so many different things that the government wants to implement. But because we have, you know, we hold the power, you know, they want, you know, like, you know, the scanner to, you can scan your wrist or your eyes or whatever in one whole system. Man, that's all been talking about in the Bible, right? So it's just crazy, you know, like how, you know, yeah, people can say, well, the book was written by man, but yeah, it was taught by Christ. So
exactly.
I'm going to go with my faith. It's gotten me successful. It's gotten me championship. Of course, I had to do the work, but at the same time, I believed in something that was going to give me that extra push and that extra strength to get there. And I got there. And, you know, I'm going to follow the path. And, you know, everyone has their own path, their own faith, their own religion, their own light or their own darkness. It's part of the human DNA. But what are you going to be? You're going to be good? You're going to be bad? Are you going to sit on the skirts of the fence and hang there and see what, where you fall? Well, that's your choice. You got the choice.
You couldn't have said it more better, my friend. You know, each and every time I have you on the show, you just, I don't know, man, you inspire the hell out of me. You really do. I know just about every facet in the sport. And I'm, you know, friends with a majority of the others. But there's some people that I bring on my show that really just, I don't know, your words just emulate and hit home with me. I truly am honored each and every time you come on the show, sir, because you speak about real, you speak about life, you speak about reality, and not very many people have the balls to do that. And, you know, I'm a God-fearing man myself, but I just, in my heart. I believe the Lord is in my heart. Now, as far as going to church on Sunday, I think that's a place for people to share fellowship. You know, the Lord lives in you. And he's kept me on this earth through my 200-something plus surgeries, my leg being amputated. He gave me a second chance back in the sport. And some of my greatest work came after my greatest adversity. And if one thing we could do in life is learn from this adversity that we're going through now, and we're going to continue to go through for however long it may be. But take this time, love your family, rejoice in what we got, and show our kids the proper path. And teach others compassion and unity and how to respect aspects of life without hate. We're more than a video. We're more than a radio show. We're people. And if we can't look at ourselves in the mirror without shame, then we need to fix ourselves. And, you know, Kung, you're truly an aspect of my life that I really appreciate. You're as real as they come. I don't know if you're willing to do this or not, but I would be honored if you would. We got a few minutes here, but I would be honored if you would end the show with a prayer, if you felt comfortable with that, sir.
Sure. Sure. Just asking God to speak through me. Dear God, thank you for all that we have, all that we're blessed with. And in the darkest of the hours that everyone endures in their life, whether it's today, tomorrow, or even yesterday, we are still here today, and we're grateful for that. Bless us so we can be closer to you and we can influence and affect people's lives in the most positive ways, because right now mankind is not in a good place. The whole world is in quarantine, and this is the time to stand together as humans and as one. Again, Lord, thank you for letting me wake up today and let everyone wake up today and having a roof, or whether it's cardboard or a tree over your head, we have another day. Let us make every day the best day that we have, because tomorrow's not promised. Love and light and faith in Christ will give us the insight to live for tomorrow and be the best parents or the best human that we can be. Amen.
Amen. You know, thank you so much, sir. You know, you are a rare aspect of life that many need to look up to and learn from. You're a man that's wise among your years. And until the next time we meet, my friend, thank you for blessing my show. Thank you for blessing my life. Wish the best to your family, and let's all get through the struggle together. With that being said,
okay.
Thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you, sir.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kung Lee. Thank you for tuning in. We're having some technical difficulties, but we got the show in. Have a good night, and God bless. Find where I want to go out at. Take care, everybody.